This is Noah Schechter, writer of episode 504, The Endling. You're listening to The Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Just how far would a mother go to ensure the well-being of her child? Welcome to the award-winning Blacklist Exposed. I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs.
And I am Agent Aaron Peterson, and I personally want to thank the Blacklist for confirming all of our worst fears about the post office. Thanks a lot. I'm never forwarding my mail ever again.
I just had mine forwarded. Should I be worried?
Yeah. You want me to come house it?
No.
I think I would take everything and say it was the post office. Thanks for joining us once again as we discuss number 44 in the Blacklist, The Endling, written by Noah Schechter and directed by Michael Watkins. Show notes and other intel for this episode of The Blacklist Exposed can be found at theblacklistexposed.com.
Episode 4 and off and running. So the big question from last week, should Wrestler take Red up on his offer? Should Red help him out? It's a good question. Let's go with Julie first. Wrestler's too stubborn to admit that he needs help, and at least evolve from Red specifically. But the situation will worsen to the point that he will be forced to accept Red's help, even though he won't ask for it directly.
Oh, we got a lot of actual answers as opposed to yes or no. Neil said, yes, he should. I like the scenes they share. Red cares for Wrestler. I think Wrestler starts to like him. Plus, there was a time when I thought Red might be his father. It would have been an awesome twist. Yeah. If you can make it work, sure. It's no farther a stretch than some other people's theories.
Kathleen said, yes, it would give us more screen time between Spader and Diego. I love those two together.
Aller, one of those. I don't know if he should. All I know is he will.
Mm-hmm. Linda said, I think Red knows what Prescott is up to, and I think he wants to help, but needs Donald to ask him. Think Red is truly fond of him.
Love TV. I spent a lot of time on that in my youth. Said, no, he should not. He should take matters into his own hands and just blow this guy's head off. Wow.
Whoa, violence.
That's going like from 0 to 60, man.
Hey, much like you're going from 10 to 8 o'clock, but who's counting? Dead horses, whatever. Lori said, I'd love to see Wrestler have no choice but to take Red up on his offer, because that would mean more Klattenhoff Spader magic. I truly feel it's better for Wrestler to be in Red's debt. Red knows Don cares about him, respects him, can help him. Prescott is a leech.
We got a few more of these, so you guys want to skip ahead. I don't know. Rachel said, I think he is going to have to if he wants to get rid of Prescott. Wrestler just doesn't want to owe Red any favors. Well, who does? Nobody. That's who.
Party favors, maybe. Monica said,
wow, you're just like dad joking it up, aren't you? You're just like on a dad joke express train.
Absolutely.
All the way to dad town.
Monica said, I don't think he will. I think Wrestler's the kind of guy who would turn himself into the task force to get if he got himself in trouble over this with the higher-ups. However, Red might help him anyway because it would help Liz. And I can't help but think he likes Wrestler a little bit.
Wow.
Everybody putting thoughts into Red's head.
How you doing? Timeless Flight said, I say yes, because there's no other way he's going to get out of this mess unless he decides to fess up and turn himself in. Kudos for saying fess up. I haven't heard that one in a while.
Allie said, yes, or he will end up with more cover-ups on his conscience, and eventually his distraction will get him or someone hurt. The day is coming.
See, there's so many. I'm going to start doing these in like Bogart's voice. Carol said she. He will ask him eventually what he will do. And I'm sorry. He will ask him eventually, but he will put it off until he is in really deep and feels trapped. Wrestler feels superior to Red. It would take a lot to ask for help.
Simone said, of course, he should have immediately taken up Red on his offer, but apparently Wrestler thinks he's better than Red, which he no longer is. And I'd be rather annoyed if Red gave him another chance.
Suzanne said he may try to correct the problem himself without going through Reddington. I think Wrestler's disappointed in himself for even hiring the cleaner to clean up the Hitchin scene. It would be nice if he didn't go even deeper to hide his involvement in her death by taking Reddington's offer. I would like to see Wrestler get himself out of this mess by handling it within the law.
I am the law.
Crystal said,
I am the law.
There you go. I also think Wrestler might try to handle this on his own for now until he realizes that he needs help. However, I feel Wrestler would most likely go to Cooper before he ever goes to Red. If Red is called upon to help, it'll be because Cooper goes to Red about it, not Wrestler.
I think he'd go to Keen. He'd go to Tom, if you ask me.
That would be interesting. Tom, I know we've had our differences, but I need some help, bud.
Yeah. Hook a brother up. We both need screen time. Ellen said, I think eventually Wrestler will be forced to seek Red's help. But that, of course, will mean that he'll owe Red, which is not a good thing. So I hope Wrestler makes sure that there are no strings attached to Red's offer of help. Like, that's possible.
There's always something.
Yeah, he's like a marionette puppet dancing around.
Michelle said, definitely always go by the belief, better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. Deep down, Red has a respect for Donald, and although Donald might owe Red, I don't believe Red would have Donald compromise his basic inner values.
And last one is from Donna. He needs Red's help, but will wait until the very last minute to acknowledge it. Typical Wrestler macho. Funny thing is, because I'm a little tired, I read that as Ralph Macchio. It's weird. Sweep the leg, Johnny.
What's our question next week?
Yeah, next week. The question is going to be, who do you think stole the bones? Who stole them? Somebody walked off with them. Who was it?
Someone else took care of Dr. Nick as well at the same time.
Yeah, poor Dr. Nick. I really like it. I like that actor. I really like the character and I like the actor. So
yeah,
too bad.
We'll talk about him a little bit more in just a bit. Before the owner gets home, we got to get on with the show.
Okay, now we're talking about the Endling, number 44 on the blacklist, which is the Endling. Before we get to that, I do want to point out that I have issued an Aaron alert for Agnes Keen. So if anyone sees her, please call us and notify us right away.
I think the milk carton meme is already getting like a million hits.
I'm glad somebody did that. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have memes. God bless America. By the way, I just want to say, I am glad Agnes isn't in the show. I think it's great. Don't get me wrong. I think the babies take away from cool plot dynamics, but it's still funny. I don't care.
Well, it's especially funny in this episode specifically, because when they're sitting around the family table, like going to have breakfast or whatever it was they were doing in the morning, it's a clear sign that there should be a high chair on the other side of that table. And I'm like, oh, this is the episode. We're going to see it. No, there's no Agnes.
You know what? I'm glad they're teaching this kid boundaries. You know what I mean? Kids need to respect that early. Mommy and daddy need their time. You get your time, we get our time. That's all it was.
I just appreciate her not being on the show because we can do things like the milk carton meme. It gives us stuff to put out into the social media sphere.
So funny. Thank you. Thank you all who followed suit and are all on board the milk carton train. I'm still praying they put it in an episode. It would be fantastic. I'm pretty excited. All right, well, we begin with a woman in Ireland who decides. Okay, I just want to say, for all you people who say it hasn't been dark and at 7 o'clock, it's not going to be, or 8 o'clock, it's not going to be very dark. Yeah, horses. All right. You don't kill animals. Everybody knows that. But that's what happens in the first 5 minutes. This woman in Ireland decides to off this fancy old man and burn an innocent horse down. She burned an innocent horse down. Turns out she's the Endling, someone who eliminates all rare elements except the last one to reap the profits. Were you taken aback by the fact that they would burn up a horse?
Yeah, I was like, they're going to torch. I thought she was going to steal the horse, kill the guy. That would make sense. But when she started setting the whole place ablaze, I'm like, you don't kill horses at 8 o'clock. That's just, PETA's going to be all over you guys.
What is the appropriate time for killing horses exactly? You have one?
Yeah, 8 o'clock, HBO. You could skin them actually
HBO
on that show.
Like 3 in the afternoon is fine, I think. So, man. Good. So, I liked it. I almost feel like that was pointed at people that were saying, well, there's doesn't have that edge anymore. Well, there you go. You got dead horses. Thanks. Thanks, buddies.
Yeah.
Appreciate that.
This episode definitely had the edge back on it. That's for sure. And I liked it. Well, I liked it.
I did like it because I don't ride horses, so really didn't affect me one way or the other. I'm just like, well, just an actor. Be all right. I'll see him in Seabiscuit 2. He'll be fine.
They did clarify that there were no animals hurt in the filming of this episode.
Do they still have to? Were people actually concerned about it? Like people, the Blacklist is lighting horses on fire?
There were people that literally turned off the episode when that happened. They didn't finish watching the episode.
It's not like a real horse got. I mean, they didn't even show the horse on fire.
Yeah, but there's just something that you heard the whinny, screaming in agony.
Yeah, there's something about. I got a buddy who can't stand the fact that people are fine with, you know, any kind of people death. But as soon as you hurt an animal, that people get upset. But I get it. They're innocent. They can't do anything about it. Poor thing was trapped in a cage. It was kind of mean. Couldn't she just take it and hide it somewhere?
Right. That's what I would have done.
She's kind of a mean lady. All right. Well, Alicia Gray is that mean lady. And that leads them to Caleb Hess, who's this rich jerk from Hanover, Maryland, who benefited from the horse's death. Now, he swears he didn't know. Well, of course, he did.
I didn't know. Well, you can find her over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know where she's at. I didn't know she was going to kill the horses. Wrestler and Samar use this guy's son to threaten him to get the details. So he does have feeling. She wanted info on security protocols on Princess Sonia of Montenegro. There are a whole bunch of details that don't really matter because Gray isn't actually after the princess. So there's a whole lot of red herrings in this particular section. It's kind of a cry wolf scenario. Instead, which is funny,
well,
cry wolf was part of the episode. Huh? Exactly. Wolf is part of it.
The one thing that I thought of when they were doing the whole princess thing, and, oh, it's not princess, it's Anna or whatever her name was. I thought for a minute it was an Amidala thing where the princess really wasn't the princess and Anna was the princess. I thought that's where they were going with it initially, but turns out I was wrong.
Wait, what? Danny Amendola? What?
Princess Amidala.
I don't get the
Star Wars.
I know Princess Leia. That's all I know.
Yeah, I thought it was the Padme Switcheroo.
Gotcha. Ooh, that's feel bad.
Sorry, Queen Amidala, not Princess Amidala.
Okay,
Queen
now I remember.
Of Naboo.
I know the queen. I forgot the name, man. I'm still trying to get those movies out of my memory, so let's stop talking about them. All right, so yes, instead they want Anna. And apparently, only the princess is the one that cares about this lady, because everybody else is like, she'll be fine. Let's get you out of here. Don't worry about Anna. Turns out she's preggers, and if she needs emergency surgery, Anna is there to offer up some golden blood. What do you think about this concept of golden blood?
True. Yeah. It is true. I looked it up because we've been doing the history stuff all season so far, and I'm like, this doesn't really exist. And apparently it does.
It does. Yep.
It does. It is a real thing. Now, it's supposedly super, super, super rare, as Amir Aram tells us in the episode, and it is super rare based on what I read on the internet this morning, but at the same time, I'm like, there's four people with it in the same episode, so how rare is it really? I thought that was a little bit... something I had to like just kind of okay, it's TV.
Well, but you're all connected by the one person trying to corral those people, so it does make sense,
right? Sure. You happen to find the two people that are partnered up to go help the two people that are supposed to be partnered up. There just happens to be four golden bloods in one place.
Nitpicking.
Well, no, I would say if I was any other blacklister, I'd come and kill all four of them, because that would be the blacklister that would be doing, you know, the world configure, because that's what I thought this was going to be doing. I thought someone was going to wipe out all four of them to make one last person be the endling of the golden bloodline. That's where I thought it was going initially.
See, I heard the golden blood thing. I looked it up. I'm like, well, that has to be a TV thing, and then realized that it's not, which kind of surprised me.
Which I have to say, the things that they're doing this season, like this and the Mongolian peasant principle and the necklace and all, I love that the stuff that they're doing is actually rooted in reality, because there's a lot of TV shows that would just make up a country or make up a town or make up a person. So I love that this stuff is actually out there in real life. I think that's pretty cool.
It is really cool. And I wish the internet would have called it something cooler than Golden Blood, but here we are. Bitchin' Blood? I don't know. There's got to be something that's better. I don't know what it would be.
They were too busy making milk carton memes.
This all leads to Ethan Isaacs, who was born Shakir Ahmad, and his mom is Neera Ahmad.
Who was actually Alice Gray.
Yes, who's Alicia Gray.
Alicia Gray, sorry.
Yeah, Alicia Gray. And she has the same rare blood type as Ethan, and now Ethan has an illness that requires a heart transplant and some golden blood, which is why she's doing all of this, a mother's love and all of that. What do you think in terms of Blacklister? How did you feel about, I mean, I know we had some concerns. Yeah, we had some concerns about last week and the Blacklister from last episode. How did you feel about this week's Blacklister?
I think it was more Blacklister-y, I still don't know the ties between these blacklisters and actually turning them into post office and that. I have a theory on what's going on based on some stuff we've read on the internet throughout the course of the day today. But at the same time, I like the concept of the endling. I love this whole take out a whole bunch of stuff so that you literally have one left. It's like the almost to the point of, you know, extinction species kind of scenario. And so that you can actually raise the value of the very last rare item. I think that's brilliant. I think that is a huge, awesome business scheme. I just am kind of bummed that that whole concept of getting it to the one thing wasn't actually what this whole thing was all about. It was really a rope-a-dope kind of scenario. You believe in this whole concept of maybe we're getting to this horse or this statue or the last golden blood person, and then you realize that it's completely something different altogether.
Yeah, well, I mean, he Red explains it at the end, but we'll come back to that. I thought it was okay. I mean, it was better than last week's Blacklister to a degree, and I really liked the heart at the story. It was one of those things where once it all connected.
I see what you did there.
Uh-huh, you liked it? Once it all connected, it worked for me. I wasn't really on board until near the end. When I saw where it was going, I'm like, oh, okay. All right. Now I'm on board with this. This is interesting.
Yeah. Again, the character moments are really showcasing really well this season. Mm-hmm. And the ending is a huge character moment. I mean, you totally feel for that situation, how Liz is feeling, how Red is feeling, how Nick is feeling, how the mom is feeling. All of that comes across on the screen really, really well. It's the what do you want to call it? The puzzle piece, the water flow of how you go from the start of the episode to those moments that I feel this season has been a little bit over the map.
Yeah, maybe. I've liked every episode, so I haven't disliked any. And most shows, I dislike at least a few. So it's not a matter of that. Just the Blacklister. It doesn't feel as Blacklistery as in the past, but on the same token, you have to kind of look at where Red's situation is, and right now he's still kind of rebuilding. He doesn't have the same connections to the same nefarious groups that he once did, so there is some of that coming into play. And until he rebuilds, he's kind of like, I got to find somebody. I got to throw him a whale, you know. And all I've got are a school of fish. I got to build back up to get the whales. That could be part of it.
It could be. I mean, that's one of the challenges I think that they're having this season is how do we keep the post office relevant while Red is rebuilding? Mm-hmm. I think that's the balancing act they're trying to do. And I guess it depends on how you view the blacklist, because we haven't really identified what the blacklist is, why these numbers are in the order they're in. You had your theory about throwing darts at the board. But at the same time, I think some people are frustrated because they're thinking that the blacklist is about taking out bad guys and giving them to the FBI. I don't think that's the case. I think the blacklist is truly about Red either moving or removing pieces from a larger chessboard. Some of them land at the FBI. Some of them go free. Some of them just are what they are. I mean, look at Rocco Zamani from the pilot, right? Rocco ends up dead. He gives the bomb to the guy, the Ukrainian, and then he goes scot-free. And the post office, or the FBI, it's hard to say post office in this episode, the FBI and the task force end up with nothing at the end of the day from episode one. So a lot of people, I think, are kind of frustrated that Cooper and the gang are not getting the bad guys, when really that's not what the blacklist is. The blacklist is truly whatever Red wants it to be to suit his needs for that given week. So I think we're putting our own projection of what the blacklist is into these episodes, which makes us go, the task force isn't really part of it anymore, or the people aren't getting to the task force. I think that's us putting our own spin on how we view the show versus what the show actually is.
Yeah, it's kind of like when people have theories about certain things, huh?
That. Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, to cap this episode off, Red does arrange a visit with Dr. Nick to save Ethan, but Nira will have to kill herself to get it done. And she does. Proof of a mother's love. That was a really dark moment for people saying the show's not dark this season. I just want to say that was pretty dark. Love that moment. It really got me in the feels.
Yeah.
You?
I mean, as the whole scene's progressing, you're just like, holy crap, they're actually going to go through with it. And she's actually going to go through with it. And then you're just sitting there going, wow, what does that mean in the greater mythos of the show? Theories aside, right? I mean, we've been told that she walked into the ocean to kill herself.
And that didn't make me think of that at all. I knew you were going to leap there, but I didn't think of that at all.
That's exactly what it is. It's how far would a mother go to protect her daughter? And that's exactly exactly what Katerina did. How far would Katerina go to protect Liz? For her, according to Reddington, it was killing herself in the ocean, because everything she would have done to be near her daughter would have brought her pain and suffering and death. So yeah, it's a very interesting, again, they're explaining the mythos without it being so exposition-y. So I thought this was a really great way to showcase some of that, depending on how you want to read it, take it, observe it.
Okay. I thought you were going to say your goofy theory, but all right. Yes. The Katerina walking into the ocean and killing herself. Yes. That connects. Although we don't know. I mean, either she was viciously murdered or maybe she walked in. I think it would be more like sacrificed herself if that's the case, but what do I know? What do I know? I don't know anything until this show is over. I'm all over the place right now.
Well, I mean, or it would play into my theory because of how Liz and Red had that conversation.
We'll get there later. We'll get there later. Shut up. You can just cut all that out. Let's go to character, starting with music.
Music this week. Show opens up on the Endling torching the stable to, of all things, Fitz Pleasure, which was the name of the horse, but also the name of the song.
I really like that song, by the way. That song. I felt bad that I was kind of like tapping my toe while the horse was on fire.
this song, Fitz Pleasure, is by the group Alt-J, like you would do on a keyboard. Later in the episode, during a panic of sorts with Liz and the badge stealing Tom, we hear Delta Swelter by Sunny Chan. Then Liz and Red meet up with Dr. Melissa Lomay, and we are treated to Lazy Day by Peter Moore. And then during the big climax of the transplant, we hear Dancing in the Moonlight again by Alt-J, which is not on Apple Music, unfortunately.
Oh, they're on Spotify, because I've got a couple of their other songs on.
I know. That one's on Spotify and on YouTube, but not on Apple Music. What the heck?
I don't know. I'm a Spotify guy. Can't help you. Sorry, buddy.
My playlist isn't complete. What am I going to do?
That's what happens when you sell your soul to the company store. All right. Well, Saram, Wrestler, and Aram are really in the background this week. A lot of all their.
Did you say
doing...
Saram and Wrestler?
Did I?
It sure sounded like you did.
Man, this Wednesday thing is throwing our recording into the. It's making us do it so late during the week. It's so hard to do. Samar, Wrestler, and Aram are in the background for the most part this week.
Yeah, yeah.
They are pretty much. Performing as the CIS team, or CSI team, CIS, one of those. They are doing the investigation. They're getting us. They're taking the pieces and moving them forward. But we didn't really get any good deep character moments, unless there's something that I missed that you want to talk about.
Other than the cool elevator scene when the bomb went off, I thought that just the stuff there was actually pretty neat. I thought that maybe something was going to happen there where Samar went deaf and Wrestler was going to have to help her out, or there was going to be somebody coming around the corner that was going to shoot and maybe Wrestler jumps out to save her because she can't hear or see him coming out. But nope, it was just an explosion and then everybody's fine.
Well,
but it was a cool scene the way it was filmed.
Wrestler did do a little like smirk when Liz was getting chewed out, I think. if I remember it right, that's what I remember. So that seemed like a cool little thing. I like when Wrestler gives a little smirk, when he gets a little cocky. Speaking of Cooper, he's pissed. Now, he had a little showdown with Liz, and because he's mad that Liz lied to her partners. He scolds her, tells her he doesn't trust her. Who cares if you're okay with that? I love that line, by the way. That's what concerns me. He loves her like a daughter, but he's concerned about the relationship between Liz and Red, and I'm watching you. I'll meet the parents, Robert De Niro style. I'm watching you. How did you feel? Like, was this as close as you're ever going to get to that conversation you wanted to have with Cooper and
I mean,
Liz?
Yeah, I guess it's as close as I'm going to get because it's long past. But at the same time, this sounds like the same kind of conversation he was having with her before she shot the AG, Mr. Smiling Tom Connolly. And then the next season, Cooper's all like, oh, it's all good. You're fine. You know, we'll help you get your badge back. We'll get you out of jail. So how much of this does he really mean? You know, to quote Red, it's like, oh, I thought you'd be upset. Is he really upset in this situation? Is he just, hey, you're walking a line here, FYI, I'm talking to you as a father, or, hey, you're walking a fine line here, I'm talking to you as your boss?
No, I think he's actually irritated. I liked it. I thought it was an important scene. That you keep saying that they have to have this conversation, and they had this kind of conversation, finally. I would think this would give you some relief. you would finally be like, you know what? All right, that's at least something.
But here's the, but that's the question. The question is, what is this? How is Cooper seen in this scene? Is he seen as a father figure or is he seen as a boss? Because as a boss, you'd be like, okay, I'm scared. I need to shape up, ship out. If it's from a father's perspective, then you're like, well, he's just looking out for me. Yeah, he's upset. He's giving me a thing, but he's always going to love me no matter what I do. Because that's what dads do, right? So how did you take it? Did he talk to her as a father figure or did he talk to her as the boss?
I think he talked to her as a boss who cares about her. And I think he means it. I think he knows that his ass is on the line. He knows that the person above him, the new director, whatever, is keeping an eye on things. And it's really shaky. And knowing that they're connected, because he did report that up high, his ass is on the line. Like, this is his career. He might care about her, and he's already stuck his neck out for her numerous times. But at this point, the task force is done if anything else gets screwed up. So I think he's really addressing it. I'm worried about your judgment, and I think rightfully so.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm happy they had that conversation. I thought it was a sweet moment, too, especially when he's yelling at her. She's not like, damn, Dad, back off. I'm just, you know, just doing my job. Dembe, I tried to save a kid.
You just said,
who cares if you're okay with that?
You just got done saying that he was talking to her as the boss who cares about her, and then you're like, damn, Dad, back off. Pick a side.
I said Liz said that. I didn't say he said that. Why would he say to Liz, damn, Dad, back off? That make any sense. God, Troy, you don't know what you're talking about anymore. Dembe is really good at Scrabble. That's it.
Yep.
That's all I got.
Is it really Scrabble, though? They were playing, I think it was a different, it was a different game because they're playing their own pieces in front of their own hands. So it's like they were playing off of each other.
It's like super smart guy Scrabble. We don't need a board. Just give us letters. We're going to put them on the table. Somebody screaming going, you don't know what game it is. I don't really play. If it's not Monopoly or chess, I don't really play it. Sorry. Risk.
Sometimes I was going to say, you play Risk. Everybody plays Risk.
I like Risk, but chess is my favorite game. So
Settlers of Catan? No, I don't play that.
No.
I don't trade. Never. I don't trade wheat with anybody.
Sounds wrong. I really love the bathtub torture.
Well, you missed the brass knuckles ahead of time before the bathtub torture.
Yeah, I saw that. I didn't, you know, that's typical movie torture, TV torture. That's fine. The bathtub torture, I'm like, what are they doing? Like taking a straw at a time until he drowns or just he has straws, they fill up the bathtub and eventually he drowns. I like that. That's kind of cool. You get to watch yourself die. That's great torture. Hey, it's new.
It's new.
Right? I haven't seen that done in a show before. I liked it.
It's different.
Annie Reed's poster. So when they're waiting at the veterinary clinic.
He's got to take care of, you know, Red's cat at the flat. So he's got to get the latest, you know, what's the best collars to get and what's the best food. You know, there's all those food recalls going on. So absolutely, yeah, I would be reading Poster too.
Everybody else is going to be on their phones in that waiting room. Dembe picks up Poster. Wants to keep up.
It would have been funny. It would have been funny if you picked up a Highlights magazine instead.
Those are, man, I read those. Don't knock that. I don't want to hear that.
I'm not.
All right, let's move to Tom. Tommy boy. Hey, look, Tom's lying to Liz again. Look at that. And he's sneaking around and he's stealing her ID. Yep. Love's grand. How do you feel about this? Are you still on Team Tom?
This Team Tom, I am. Absolutely. This is the Tom that I like.
Lied to Liz, sneaking around, stole her ID. Yep. Which automatically implicates her in whatever happens. Whoever does have those bones and everything else, she's involved now.
Absolutely. That's a bad thing.
I'm aware. Hence my point. Damn it, Tom.
Yeah, Tom, not so smart for getting your wife in trouble. At the same time, I like the Tom. This is the Tom I like. Sneaky Tom. Badass Tom.
Yeah, he's doing great getting people killed. That's working out wonderful.
As long as he doesn't get killed, right?
Yeah, I guess. He loves Normal. You know, he just tells her, don't get shot, but just make sure you give me that ID. He takes pictures of his wife's ID. It just felt wrong.
We did,
man.
It right
it just
in front of
wrong.
Her. How sly was that? Like, I got the badge out of your bag while I'm kissing you. Then I literally take a picture of it while you look at the barbecue, and then boom, it's back in your bag while I'm kissing you. Smooth.
How would your reaction be if you're Liz and you find out later down the road, which eventually she's going to find out? What's your reaction? Like, a genuine reaction, not TV reaction.
Tom, what the hell? What the hell, Tom?
Wouldn't you be hurt? I mean, wouldn't you say, you know, this is the same stuff that you swore you were done with? Lying to me, we swore we would stop lying to each other and everything else?
He just went and worked for Brad in the last episode.
That's not to her. He is manipulating her. He stole from her. It's just, man, all right.
But it's to help her. It's to help her find out the identity of the bones, to give her an answer that Kaplan wanted to give her. I'm doing it all for you, honey.
By taking her ID badge, breaking into the database with her credentials, that's helping. I mean, I get what you're saying with the bones and whatnot, but come on, man.
Well, he's not putting two and two together at that point that someone's going to go in and off Dr. Nick and steal the stuff and then somehow be looking for Liz because he's not thinking that far down the line.
Into the database stealing his wife's credentials to do so.
The guy told him, all I need is the FBI credentials and I can make a match.
You're missing my point. Stole his wife's ID. So he implicated his wife in whatever they were doing by doing that.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
I can't even have this conversation with him anymore. It's like you're not listening to me. It's illegal, and he implicated his wife in doing it.
But he had to do it because he was this close, like literally inches away from getting an answer. Ooh. Wouldn't you just go ahead and get the answer? Do whatever you had to get the answer.
I know an IT guy that would probably have helped him get whatever he needed without implicating his wife. Don't you?
But you have to implicate that guy then, too.
Rather than his wife. Yep. Uh-huh. Mother of his child. Sure would. Yeah.
Could have called his pa for help, too. Use the Artex network instead.
Well, his paranoia got Nick killed, too. So, nice job, Tom. You did great this episode. I'm sorry if it's not too harsh, but there's a lot of dumb sidesteps in this episode. I'm like, man, this is. I see why you're going to get killed, maybe. In a couple episodes. Making some dumb calls here. It's going to be hard to come back from this.
What if it was the med student kid that actually came back in, stole the bones, and killed Nick?
Very, very possible. Yeah, I don't think we saw his body, right?
Right.
And Tom did say that he saw dollar signs in that kid's eyes, so it's very possible he killed Nick and stole the bones once he figured out who they belonged to or who would want them.
So in that case, Tom didn't really implicate Nick because Nick was the one that brought the med student in the first place.
If that is the case, yes.
Okay.
If that is the case. But there is one thing about the bones, but I'm going to come back to that because that's closer to the end. Sorry, there's a lot of people yelling at me because I just went on a Tom raid, but... What are you going to do?
Ah, Tom raid. That's funny.
You like that? Hashtag. Liz, she actually doesn't get a whole lot to do this episode except get lied to again. But that's beside the point. She seems super happy that everybody's lying to her, so that's cool. She's making reservations for her and her husband, but she does screw her team over for Red and a child. How do you feel about her actually doing that? I mean, we know it's against law. We know it's against protocol. I personally probably would not be okay with it because... I'm a big protocol guy. I am. Sorry, kid. You're just going to have to bite the bullet.
Yeah, I'm not cool with Liz saying, I don't know where they are to Wrestler and Samar. Mm-hmm. When that happened, like lying to your partner, that's bad. The whole you don't decide who lives or dies comment from Cooper, she didn't decide if she lived or died. The mom made her own choice. Red said, this is how it can go down. It can go either A or B. You know, you have to choose. And Liz is just a bystander at that point. Now, she could call the feds and say, hey, come on in here and kidnap this lady. But at the same time, she's also saving a life by letting the mother kill herself. So in that sense, you are doing a good thing. Are you the sinner or the saint as they have that conversation? So, yes, disagree. Horrible that you lied to Wrestler and Samar. But as far as who lives or dies, I don't think she really made that choice. And the choice, I would have done the same thing. You know, better to save the kid.
I would have followed protocol, but I probably would have pressed and been like, hey, Wrestler Samara, here's what Red wants to do. What do you guys think? I mean, if you make the wrong call, this kid's going to die. You know, throw the choice back to them. That's what I would do. Flip the coin. Subtle manipulation will get it done. He would have got his transplant. She also blames Nick for getting involved, which is funny because it's really Tom's doing.
Well, in this case, it's Red's doing. Red called Nick for this one.
For this one, but that's what Tom's thinking. That or Tom, it will be in Tom's mind once he finds out that Nick's dead. Nick is dead because Tom got him involved.
Right, but you could say, oh, look, Nick died because he helped Red. Not my fault, not my problem. Tom's got out.
But that wouldn't be true. Lying.
Yeah, maybe.
No, not maybe. It would definitely be lying.
He would be lying, but that's what Tom does.
Exactly my point. That's why I said I'm frustrated with Tom.
That's why I love Tom.
Oh my God. You give me a headache. Red thought he was getting attacked when instead he stumbled upon a post office scam.
It's so good.
How do you, this came out of left field. Did not see any of this coming.
Well, I had, what about you? When the criminals were breaking into the house, I'm like, they're not going to do someone found red again 2 weeks in a row. I'm like, these are guys who are literally breaking into this house thinking it's empty, and they're literally going to stumble into red and be like, oh crap, we just have a really bad day because we stepped into the wrong place. Now, the fact that it was backed up by a post office scam, that I did not see coming. That was freaking brilliant.
Yeah, it was really smart. I thought it was a cool idea. And I want to point out, let's see. So essentially the mailman finds houses where the owners won't be home and sends a team to those houses to rob them. And then they kind of like sell everything and they profit from it. Right? That's what the plan is.
Correct.
So he offers a deal by the end of this, once he gets everybody and rounds them all up, he offers the mailman a deal to rent these homes to criminals. So use these B&Bs as basically safe houses. And I just want to point out, he's like, you're making $50,000 to $100,000 a year, whatever. I can offer you 10% of 100 times what he's pulling down now, which basically would be about the same amount, would it not?
Yeah, or zero, because Red doesn't have any money.
Well, no, but like 10% of 100% more than what he was getting was basically going to be what he was already getting, I think. But whatever.
100 times more of 100 would be four zeros. So that's what, 10,000?
I don't have a calculator. Now my head hurts. I'm pretty sure it wouldn't be a great more. I think the way he sold it, the guy wasn't really looking at the big picture. I think I'm like, hey, something fishy here. Because 10%, 100 times more, and then 10% is kind of where I was already. But, all right, cool. That's probably all wrong. This is why I can't teach math.
It is more. So he's pulling down $100,000. Now he's going to be pulling down $1 million.
$10 million.
No, because he's getting 10% of the $10 million.
$100,000 times 100 would be... $10 million, right?
Right.
Two more zeros.
And then 10% of that. 10% of that would be $1 million.
Okay.
So it is a better deal.
Take back everything I said. This is why I don't teach math.
Yes, this is why we podcast.
that was 3 or 4 minutes of wasted time for all of you. You are welcome.
You're also there like, yeah, we figured it out already, guys. Move along.
What do you think about this plan? I mean,
it's yeah, sweet.
There's some money in there.
I mean, the whole show starts out with him kind of dancing around what Airbnb is. So he's already got this concept of, man, this Airbnb thing is actually the coolest thing ever. So he's already kind of thinking about how could I do this for criminals and have an Airbnb rating system for criminals for safe houses. And now here he's got the perfect way to actually get the inventory to build it up. I mean, it's like the greatest business plan ever.
Wouldn't you run into the same problem, though, if people were renting their house out but forwarded their mail so that the renters don't see it? I mean, wouldn't that still be... Or you just rent, because they're forwarded, so we know that
Forwarding the mail, you're holding the mail.
Right.
So you're saying, don't deliver the mail to my house for this period of this period.
I get that. I'm saying, in this instance, they did that, and Red rented it out because they held the mail because they were going to have a renter there. Wouldn't that problem come up again for other locations?
Well, no, because... Possibly?
No, it could.
I suppose it could, depending on who is... holding the mail and then actually also part of so that this guy would have to look at the Airbnb database first to say, is there a rental in progress for the holded location? And then combine that with his list to say, is this a safe house or not because of renter or no renter?
Build a little algorithm, so to speak.
Little API.
I like it. I like how he's coming up with some money-making opportunities here. He's just making them. He's finding them. He's making things happen.
Everybody can build some kind of app with web services fairly quickly and maybe make some cash. So why not? Red's a developer now.
A couple things I want to point out. I love when he's looking at his own wanted poster.
I laughed so hard with that. I was like...
That was great. I've seen this guy. Have you seen him? In my dreams, I have a weakness for bad boys.
So good.
What just happened?
I was hoping Red was going to kiss around the cheek.
That's funny. Another one is when I was 17 and headed off to Naval Academy, I sent a love letter to Sarah Ellen Winstead, and he's convinced the post office lost it. and he might have been thinner and living in Maine. So there's a nod to his time in the Naval Academy.
Yes, but then again, this is him talking to a complete stranger, so the story could be complete BS.
I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm just saying.
I'm just pointing it out for the audience.
Pretty casual. Okay. Red also has a contact named Melissa Lome, a doctor who only works on career criminals. His ass is tight as a drum, and she makes a delicious pork pie. I kind of like introducing another doctor into the mix.
Yeah. Like, hello, foreshadowing. Here's a doctor. We're going to lose a doctor.
We're going to need another doctor. Doctor, 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 doctor.
Doctor and doctor.
Is there a force more powerful in the modern world? Oh, I'm sorry. Is there a force in the modern world more powerful than a mother's love? How do you feel about that line? Oh, please tell us, Troy.
That line actually was fine. I mean, whether you want to take that line face value or tie it into Katarina dumping herself into the ocean, what would you do for your kid? I mean, there's clearly exposition here to showcase what the greater mythology is. I think the bigger line comes when he talks about the whole sinner and saint concept. Like, I wish I would be that strong to be able to make that decision.
And when I'd like to think I'd be as brave as her. I know I'd want to be.
That's the line where I went, okay, well, that ties then to potentially be the mother theory. Because she didn't go through with killing herself, and she came up with a different plan because she wasn't as brave, potentially.
The other parable would be Katarina gave her life for Liz, like you already said, and he's thinking foreshadowing for himself. I'd like to think if that moment came up, I would give up my life for you. Currently.
Correct. Currently. The person we are seeing in front of us. Yes.
Yeah, Red Reddington.
Yes.
Yeah. So
The guy who thinks he's Raymond Reddington, but may not be.
Oh, my God. It's making my head hurt.
I'm not saying necessarily the mother, but it could be imposter, too. Could be the uncle, remember? It
could very much just be a parent-child discussion he's having. Not necessarily what you think. It could just be a parent-child discussion. Like, he's looking at it from as a potential parent, as a father. I would like to think that I would be able to do that.
So it is a possibility.
Absolutely. There's like 16 possibilities now. I don't even know where the possibilities haven't stopped. They just keep growing.
Just depends on what you believe and what you want to believe.
At some point, time travel is going to come back. I just know that's going to be in here somewhere. All right, 32
years earlier. Here's how the shirt got blood on it.
Dr. Nick. Now we're at Dr. Nick. His super med student apparently can't determine the sex of the bones, which is ridiculous. My biggest problem with this episode that everybody keeps saying I can't have a problem with it. I have a problem with it, Troy. I have a problem. It's four episodes. We still don't know anything about those bones. Nothing.
Yeah, we know one thing.
No, we don't.
Yeah, they're gone. They're gone.
Bugs me. Human biology. Unless it's a child, that guy, that med student, can determine if those bones are male or female at the very least. And I would have liked at least that. But I realize, trust me, storytelling-wise, I realize why they haven't said that. I realize they're trying to build up to something. I get it. Doesn't make it less frustrating for me as a viewer. And I think it would be dishonest for me to not acknowledge that. It's frustrating. I think there should be something. Four episodes in, it was such a cliffhanger. And we're four episodes in, and there's nothing except, well, forget those credentials, except now I guess Liz is implicated, and now the bones are gone. That's frustrating for me as a viewer. Is it frustrating to you, or is it just me?
I enjoy watching you guys be frustrated, to be quite honest, because...
What a way to not answer that question.
It's television. I mean, the bones are such a big thing at the end of last season, and the fact that Tom has them, and what is Tom going to do? Is he going to do it for Liz? Is he going to do it for Red? Which side is Tom? I mean, that screams season finale, mid-season finale. So I'm not even expecting an answer. So because I'm not expecting an answer, the could we at least get male or female, adult or child or animal or something? Can you give us a bone? Sorry, dad jokes abound.
Yeah, that train just keeps on chugging.
But I mean, you guys are all on that. I'm like, no, I don't care. I don't expect to get an answer until episode 8, 9, 10 at the earliest.
I don't expect to, but I think I should. I feel I've earned it. I can handle the truth. So tell me, is it a boy or a girl? Man or woman?
See, I think the man and the woman gives too much away. They could confirm if it was a child or an adult. That they could do.
Even that would have been great. Just some, give me a little something on the four episodes in.
Well,
we should have had something.
They did give you an answer.
They did not.
It's not animal.
I'm going to, if I could punch through a microphone, I would do it.
It's definitely human.
I would do it. I would do it. Man, no. it's not one of those things like, I'm going to stop watching. You know how people get when they don't get an answer they want. Like, I'm not watching anymore. No, it's not like that. Give me a break. I think this show is great. The first four episodes have been a lot of fun. I'm digging it. I just think I should have got something for those bones, except for them walking out the door.
Let me just put this out there. You could take this however you want, but for the entire show so far, all four episodes with the blacklister that everybody seems to be a little bit frustrated with on how this is all playing out, post office, blah, blah, blah. Every single episode has been a rope-a-dope. It's been a cry wolf. It's been, look at this because this is really going on. Look at this because this is really going on. Mm-hmm. Every single episode.
That's true.
The bones don't mean jack. It's about the suitcase. It's the suitcase that's important. There's something in the suitcase. It's not the bones. The bones are something totally different.
That would be interesting.
It's a theory, right? I'm just throwing it out there. The four episodes in, every single episode is a rope-a-dope.
That would be quite the rope-a-dope to have bones in there that don't matter. It would be impressive.
I'm just saying.
It might make people throw their TVs out a window, but it would be impressive. Yeah, it would be interesting.
It was just Johnny from the drugstore, you know, somebody that Red Kaplan ran across at one point, and they're like,
but secretly inside that suitcase, she hid something.
Correct.
What you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay.
The great.
Well, I realize I got to wait it out.
Gray Sports Almanac tucked into the lining.
I realize I have to wait it out, but I'm just saying that we could have had something by now. But you know, I've already made that case, so we'll move on.
You want something? I'm good with like. But,
I did.
But
we all want something. Come on, don't act like you don't want something. You're fine with the way that they're layering it out. That doesn't mean you don't want the answer. You want to know what's in there. You want me on that wall. You need me. You know.
You can't handle the truth.
I just used that. You can't use it twice.
I think there's focusing, you know, to be on your side. I think they're focusing too much on the bones, and we need to focus more on who's Oleander. That's where Tom should have been focusing his time in this episode, not trying to get the DNA, but trying to find who Oleander is, because that might have more answers.
Hmm. Yeah, we haven't really heard much more about that.
Yeah. Two episodes now.
Well, that'll be interesting. All right. Well, he is enlisted to help Red. Dr. Nick is, and he does, and he has to be freed, and freed he is from this mortal coil because he's dead. Were you shocked that they killed Nick?
I knew it was coming. It's just a question of who is the one that killed Nick. Is it the medical student guy? Is he because he told Red, I'm not working for you anymore. Red just had a guy take care of him. Is it Tom took care of Nick because Tom got an out because he can say, well, look, it was Red's people that got Nick killed, not me because of what I was doing with the bones. So maybe Tom hired a person to take him out.
Why would Tom hire somebody to kill Nick?
Because then he can say when he gets caught for the bones thing because of stealing the ID, he can say, look, Nick was in on this, but, you know, he was helping Red. He was on Red's team. That's it. I was doing my own thing, and Nick just happened to be there. Nick stuck his nose where it didn't belong, and that's why he got killed.
I swear you always go for the furthest out there theory. Like, the one that can't make any sense, you're like, that's the one I'm planting my flag in.
Because one of them's going to stick.
You're just going to keep throwing stuff at a wall until something's like, yep, hey, it's holding up there.
Hey,
look at that.
You can swing 12 times, but on that 12th swing, you're going to make a hole in one. I'm just saying. They'll remember the 12.
God. I think it's, I mean, it was a white guy. It wasn't Dembe. He had white hands.
Definitely had white hands.
Wasn't Red, I don't think. Moved too fluidly. So I don't know who it would be, but possibly it could be the med student. That would be my first thought, would be the med student. And he's taking the bones to try and barter for a hefty sum. That's what I would think.
It could be Oleander.
It could be Oleander, yeah. I guess it could be Oleander.
We'll see what everybody else thinks. We will be back with Red's Rhetoric right after this.
Are you sick of the endless, poorly realized remakes as we are? Then take a listen to Remake This Movie Right, where we take a classic movie, figure out what works and what doesn't, throw a dash of humor at it, and then we craft our own remake. So by the end of every episode, we will remake this movie right. Recently featured as a podcast to listen to by the AV Club, you can find us at RemakeThisMovieRight.com or your podcast app of choice. Every movie you love will get a remake someday, and only you can make it better.
Hi, it's Megan Boone, and you're listening to Blacklist Exposed on Golden Spiral Media.
Welcome to Red's Rhetoric, that part of the show where we play two scenes from this week's episode of The Blacklist, and then you get to vote which is your favorite over at our website, theblacklistexposed.com. Just look for the post for the Endling. Last week, 75% of you enjoyed the call of the birds as hashtag Red Plover won last week. Our first clip this week comes when Red shares a story about lost love.
When I was 17 and heading off to the Naval Academy, I sent the most extravagant love letter to Sarah Ellen Winstead. She never replied. To this day, I remain convinced the post office failed to deliver it. And that if your colleagues had simply done their jobs, the entire arc of my life might have been different. I might have been thinner and living in Maine.
You do realize that harassing a federal employee is a felony, right?
I'll add it to the list.
Our second clip this week comes when Liz asks what Red's motives were.
What's the end game? Get out until Sunday. Nira sacrifices herself to save her son, and then what? There has to be an ulterior motive. Otherwise, why bother?
I had no veiled intent in giving you this case. Just a sincere desire to stop a criminal I believe to be truly reprehensible.
Now what do you believe?
That a sinner can also be a saint.
Are we still talking about Nira?
Given the same circumstances, I'd like to think I'd be as brave as her. I know I'd want to be.
Which was your favorite? If you are fond of handwritten love, vote hashtag red letter. And if you think Red is an honorable person, then vote hashtag red saint.
All right, now let's move on to our special agent intel. Before we get into this week's episode, for those that are not part of the Facebook group, we had to share this story courtesy of Rob, as I find it fascinating.
I do too.
So remember the Stewmaker back in season one? Well, it turns out that in 15 states, that process of dissolving a body is legal. It's called
aquamation,
something like that.
Water.
AKA water cremation.
Yep, yep.
Okay. It involves sticking a dead corpse into a vat of water and lye, and then heating it to 200 degrees Fahrenheit, or just below 100 degrees Celsius. It dissolves everything but the bones, and the solution comes out with a pH value of 11, where normal water has a pH value of 7. Oh. So they add vinegar and similar items to bring the pH down to 7, and then return the solution to nature. The bones are crushed up into a powder and given back to the family. States that have this legal on the books are California, Oregon, Minnesota, Maryland, Kansas, Florida, Colorado, Georgia, Wyoming, Idaho, Nevada, and Troy's good old Illinois.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I
always say I love nature, so now I can be part of the water cycle forever, I think.
Yes, you can. And then because they get the bones back in the crushed up form, the ashes themselves are actually not as toxic as normal ashes would be from a normal creation, so I can finally be spread at Lambeau Field.
Ooh, not this season. They need all the help they can get, actually. So maybe.
Maybe. It's a bonus.
Yeah. All right, what's other intel? We've got some other stuff from our list.
Yeah, Bill is up first. Bill said, so much for that kinder, gentler 8 p.m. blacklist. Yikes. Really wish Tom would have been in that barn, though.
Damn. Hey, I don't want him. I didn't want that. Jeez, I just wanted to stop lying to people. Don has some facts about CODIS, a.k.a. the Combined DNA Index System. The CODIS pilot program started in 1990. Armed Forces DNA Registry started in 1992. CODIS starts up in some states in 1994, goes national in 1998, and then he goes on to say the following. Number one, the Blacklist of the Week wasn't real inspiring as a villain, but the twist did make it more interesting. I don't buy the Golden Blood thing, but it's not a bad idea to spoil the episode for me. In fact, Golden Blood is a real thing.
It is.
Yeah, sorry. Number two, the mailman. I thought the idea had some semi-plausibility to be TV viable. Of course, in the real world, there are doubtless reasons why this won't work and why we should let boring old reality... But why... should we let boring old reality interfere with Red's recovery? Let's right the sinking ship of crime and get things back to normal. That means get him some cash, son. Number three, the suitcase. WTF. The way it ended with Dr. Nick being strangled blew every theory I had out of the water. Yeah, unlike Troy, I was completely surprised. I did not expect him to die at all. I thought he would get hurt or something, but I didn't think he'd be. I thought he would find Pete dead, is what I thought would happen. Whoever is in the suitcase of doom is much more toxic than anything anyone has come up with so far. So it's not Katarina or another version of Red's. It's the person whose body this is had to be alive in 1992, according to a chart that he's got, at the earliest, and quite possibly much later than that, because of his CODIS.
Because of the CODIS system being in there, right. Yeah.
There's only one way that the killer could have found Dr. Nick's ex-medical student friend, and that was if the killer was notified that the DNA profile in the database had been accessed. True. And as it turns out, it's standard operating procedure to notify the agency that submitted the DNA when their sample is matched. Whoever came for Dr. Nick was at least in part government. Whoever acted on that CODIS DNA hit did so within hours. That indicates they have had resources in place for decades. In my opinion, it's not politically related because, one, political parties change heads too often to maintain such an ongoing effort, and two, individual politicians on average don't last that long. If only the cabal were still around. Oh, wait.
Could it be the cabal?
That's some detail, brother.
Could it be the cabal? That would be interesting.
Does it still exist?
Maybe it does, and this is them saying, we can finally get out from under Red, because we got some details we can use. I think
they're too busy holding Agnes hostage or babysitting her.
It's just going to go on forever. Andrew sent in some notes from the EW recap, as we mentioned. Some interesting things that they said were the pretense of Red handing over a blacklister every week is feeling a bit forced in Season 5, and there's no rule book that says he has to. If it's not working, fix it. If everyone kind of just wants to roam the country, picking up oddballs, Reddington's 11 style, well, then do that. If Lizzie is actively lying to her partners and obstructing FBI justice, fire her. It's time to make a big change, and my hope is that the change is on its way via whatever homicidal party just jacked Mr. Kaplan's bag of bones. That's from Jody Whittaker at EW, thanks to Andrew.
And I don't agree with that.
You agree with what?
Well, I don't agree that everybody's just feeling. No, I actually a big upheaval. No, I don't. I kind of get what they're trying to do. I'm not saying that it always works for me, but I get what they're trying to do.
I have no problem with the way the blacklisters have been going this year.
Yeah. So I'm not on board with that. I'm sorry. I don't need that.
Yeah. The first one, you know, clearly was he needed people on his team. The second one, he clearly needed money and resources. Mm-hmm. You know, the third one was the only one where I go, I don't get that one at all.
Needed a plane.
Sure. But it had nothing to do with the blacklister. And then the fourth one, this one's very clearly to give exposition of the mythology and, you know, just figure out.
Foreshadowing.
And Liz's relationship and how Liz is going to. Yeah. So, I mean, they all have purpose. Again, it goes back to the whole. What do you think the blacklist is? And I still think the blacklist is Red moving or removing pieces from the board. It has nothing to do with the desire or need to give anything to the FBI at all. If it plays out in their favor, great. If it doesn't, so be it.
Yeah, it's Red's list.
Exactly.
Yep.
Kara said, last week we got the wrestler Red talk, and now after two seasons we got the Cooper and Liz talk. And poor Nick. That bone thief came out of left field. Too bad he wasn't playing for the Cubs. Wonder if he'll disappear.
Whoa! Too soon, brother. Too soon.
I wonder if he'll disappear and Nick and the results themselves leave them to be found by the FBI, or does he now have Liz's credentials to cause trouble with?
Mm-hmm.
Either way, this looks like a piece to how Tom ends up bloody on the floor. Lastly, does anyone else find it interesting? We saw a Hobson's choice tonight with the ending and her Endling and her son in the ending. The whole situation kept reminding me of Katarina the entire episode. And then I did look up what a Hobson's choice is by definition, because I know we've said Hobson's choice a lot of times, and it came up, of course, in Cape May. So in case anybody didn't know what a Hobson's choice actually is, it's a choice of taking what is available in the moment or taking nothing at all.
All or nothing.
All or nothing.
Yeah. I mean, that's another way to say it. All or nothing. That's really interesting. I like that a lot. So, booyah, that's good. I do want to point out one more little feather in my Tom what the hell cap. Gives the credentials to this obvious med student burnout. Doesn't say, you know what, I'm going to stand here with you so you can only access this one time so you're not going to use this for your benefit later down the road. But instead just gives him a screen door, basically.
Mm-hmm.
So he can just come and go as he pleases.
There wasn't even a screen on that door. It was wide open.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What the hell, Tom? All right. TC. Amen, Cooper. Listen, it's been a fun start to the season, but I am having an issue with how the post office is handling Liz. At what point do they start treating her like a criminal? Realistically, what is Red contributing to them right now? He is rebuilding and looking out for himself, which I have no issue with. In fact, I love it. However, it has come at the expense of the post office. There is an argument for that. Yeah, I would agree. A number of times, and in fact, Liz has acted on Red's best interest on most of them, illegally, I might add, instead of the best interest of the team. Her story is different from Wrestler, because while Cooper may suspect Wrestler of foul play, I don't think he does. Okay, well, we're split. He made it clear tonight he knows Liz is doing things legally. I just think we need to get to a point where Cooper flat out lays down the law to Liz rather than a slap on the hand. By the way, R.I.P. Dr. Nick. That's how you feel too, right?
About Nick?
No, about the Cooper thing that he needs to lay down the law.
Well, I am low. That was the question, right? That was my question, which was, does he treating her more like a father or more like a boss? If he's treating her more like a boss, then yeah, slap her on the wrist, put her behind a desk, take her out of the field.
That's two answers. How do you feel? Do you feel like he should just lay down the law or keep playing the father role?
I think he's playing the father role. I think he's too attached.
And I didn't say I said, what do you think he should do?
What he should do?
Yeah. That's the third time I've asked it. Yeah.
He should worry about Wrestler. That's more dangerous right now. That's what he should do.
So he doesn't need to lay down the law.
He doesn't need to worry about Liz right now. Red's still giving blacklisters in. Don't worry about Liz. Let's just keep doing what you're doing. Go worry about Wrestler, because Wrestler's a bigger liability.
Okay, your turn.
All right, Valeria said, I loved it. Tonight's episode was intense. I love the new Lizzie more and more, and I can't wait till they get rid of Tom.
I'm not alone.
Side note, Agnes is a pointless character to the show because she doesn't play a central role to the Blacklister stories or even to the central story, apparently. But to the point of not even naming her or acknowledging her existence. Hashtag, where the hell is Agnes? That's because she put a whole bunch of emojis in there. So I was reading the emojis.
I was like, what are you doing, man? There's smiley faces. And he's going to act them out.
I am.
That's good.
But there's another hashtag for you. Hashtag, where the hell is Agnes? Tweet that one out next week with the milk carton meme.
I actually had somebody, I don't remember who, but a couple people have actually said, you can't have it, you can't have it both ways. You can't say that you wish they would cut back on Agnes being in this show. And then when they do that, you make a big joke about it. Ah, but I can, because it's funny. So
if there was any episode to say Agnes needs to be in the episode, it was this episode because of the breakfast scene.
You know,
like
what?
The kid's got to be at the table eating Cheerios or oatmeal or something.
People were so tired of Agnes slowing down the momentum and the pace of the show. And I don't know the reason for her absence. Maybe the actor wasn't even available. I don't know. But you get that. And so it doesn't mean we can't make jokes about it. It doesn't mean anybody's like, damn, I wish we had more Agnes, because I don't know anybody that's really feeling that way. But it's still funny. It's funny. I bet even they think it's funny.
That would be funny. You know,
they have a good sense of humor. I'm sure they probably have their own milk carton already worked up. Just have it sitting in there and they're just passing around. Each episode, like, let's see how long we can stretch this out before somebody's like, we got to see Agnes. We'll make those fans want her back. It's actually a brilliant, brilliant ploy on their part.
But I mean, the whole Agnes slowing down the storyline last season was because it was the storyline.
I agree.
It wasn't necessarily Agnes, the actor, sitting in a high chair, making cool, funny faces. That wasn't slowing down the show. So the fact that she wasn't at the breakfast table is the only first time in the season that I'm going to go, you could have had her in that scene.
Kids sleep, man. kids do sleep quite a bit.
It's true.
Especially when they're young.
But Annie was changing her diaper while they were preparing breakfast. Okay.
I just want to point it out. I don't have a problem with her not being on there. I still think it's funny that we haven't heard much about her or seen her. So, yeah. I'm totally fine with it, though. I appreciate that they are. I mean, they listen to the audience sometimes. That should be something fans are appreciative of. All right. Nate says, whoa. Or should I, whoa. I don't know which way you meant it.
Like, whoa.
Whoa. The dark tone is back. Was it Jerry Lawrence you did?
Whoa.
The dark tone is back with a vengeance and it has an agenda. I need to take a breath because the underlying theme of these last four episodes are so obvious that I hope it's just a distraction. Well, anywho, I'll touch on that in a bit. So I guess it's a long email. This week's Blacklister was truly a fiend. I'm surprised the network allowed a suggestion of hurting an animal. PETA is going to have a heyday with this episode.
Heyday. Sorry.
I hope there's no bridge when you get to the overpass. It was quite a ride to see what the motivation was overall. There was so much mythos covered in it too. The writers of this episode need a huge bravo and many kudos for layering the Blacklist mythos without a tired and lengthy exposition to bog it down.
I agree.
The elevator explosion, I agree with that too. The elevator explosion scene with Wrestler and Samara was beautiful with its rich blood, red shining all over them. The imagery paralleled the operation room and the sacrifice made at the end of the episode. That was hit my heartstrings more than the horses. Sure thing. The editing of this episode was stellar as well. Okay, back to the aforementioned theme. The writers are taking the mother theme to a whole new level. Maybe. Did you write this?
I did not.
Is Nate your cover? maybe it's a mere counterpart to last season's father theme, or it's playing with Troy's theory way too much. Red's soliloquy about the love of a mother was so pointed that it had daggers to every fan that listens to the podcast. I pause for our dear Dr. Nick. We will miss you, sir. My theory is his murderer was someone in the FBI, since no one was on his trail until Liz's badge ID was put into the database to identify the bones, and thankfully that came from Dumb Tom. Oh, that I added that part. We shall see. Boca Camp, you are too good, my friend. Thanks for giving us an excellent episode.
Mm-hmm.
Are you positive you didn't write that?
I did not write that at all.
Okay.
There are many that are on the Red Arena train. I'm just saying.
I mean, there was a lot of... It feels like something you would write. Just saying.
It was not me.
Okay. Okay, Nate. I got it. No problem, Nate. Why don't you read the next one, Nate?
We'll see Crystal H, which actually shares an initial with my last name. So maybe this one's me too. The first couple minutes were hard to watch for me personally. I do love animals. These poor horses seem to be a favorite to kill off lately. I thought I was watching The Walking Dead for a minute.
Oh, if zombies came in, that would be great.
It would.
Write that in.
Their golden blood turns them into zombies.
I'm in.
So other than turning my head for a second at that part, I love this episode. Thought the Blacklister was dark, which I love, and such a great actress.
Mm-hmm.
Tom is such a boob this week, thinking it was no biggie to steal her badge. Now somebody's going to think Lizzie poking around in the bones puts her at risk. I love Lizzie again this week. She's fantastic. And Red's beautiful expressions during that surgery with that song playing was my favorite part. So beautiful. Lastly, oh, poor Dr. Nick. I really love the actor. I'm going to miss seeing him. Overall, great episode.
All right. All good points. Tara, no DNA in database for Eamon Reddington in episode 311. Suitcase bones DNA in database 5-4. Bones, not Raymond Reddington. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, ooh. There was no DNA in the database for Raymond, this specific person, Raymond Reddington, in 311. So when they got the match and they said, hey, we have a match, but we can't tell you who it is. That means that the bones in the suitcase can't be Raymond Reddington.
Ooh. So it could be Cataruna. That kind of shoots down the imposter idea, right? A little bit?
Maybe.
At least a little bit.
Maybe.
Maybe. Okay. Next.
Paula said, I enjoyed this episode much more out of the new season so far. Nice balance between fun and intensity combined with Tom being, well, Tom. Aram being, well, Aram. I love some of the scenes like the Scrabble and the Wanted poster, and thank goodness Red has ditched the polo shirt. Now if he can just lose the cap, I think it's coming. Be patient.
You think so?
Yeah. We'll see the fedora soon enough.
Wendy, last one. Wendy, I think Cooper will rue the day that he did not do that DNA test. He's clearly under a lot of strain at the moment.
That he did.
He'll rue the day that he did that DNA test. He's clearly under a lot of strain at the moment. What with the new director breathing down his neck, having suspicions about wrestler involvement in Hitchens' death. Am I the only one who doesn't think that? I still say it was protocol when he asked him.
I think he knows.
Well, then he's fine with everybody breaking the law on his team. He's a crappy manager, and he should be fired. Lizzie now working with Red proper and outside the lines, too. All this coming straight after the Kaplan drama. Out of them all, I think Cooper could possibly be the one person who puts the post office future in jeopardy. Why? Why Cooper?
Because he's letting it all run amok.
Yeah. All right.
He's lost control. I mean, Samara was doing her own thing last year with the Israelis. You got Aram shooting off rail guns at people. You got Liz and Tom and Wrestler doing their own crazy crap. So, yeah, Cooper's the only one that's not doing anything weird because he can't keep tabs and stuff.
Okay. And let's say one last final farewell to Peter Merrick, who plays Dr. Nick. Good job.
Yeah, great job.
Yeah, he was always fun when he was on the show.
So and we miss him. And we're glad that Red didn't kill you in season 3.
When everybody thought he's got to be dead, right? Anything else you want to say on this week's episode, man?
No, I just am interested to see how the exposition, non-exposition plays out when it's all said and done. And to see how this all ties in, because that would be... It'd be fun to come back to this episode and go, oh, they gave you the answer and you didn't even see it.
You're fifth in of the season now. Four down, or about a fifth in.
Yep.
Feeling good? Liking it?
I love it so far. I have no problem with these episodes. I mean,
I'm really digging where it's going.
They're yep. the rope-a-dope and some of the retread, like this was obviously a retread on Frederick Barnes, as somebody pointed out. I get that, but at the same time...
Wait, explain that?
Well, Frederick Barnes was the guy who was doing testing on human subjects in order to find cure for his son.
Yep.
You know, so from that perspective, I get it, but at the same time, we're approaching episode 100 here, people. There's only so many ideas.
Isn't that, that's like two away, right?
I think so.
I mean, it's coming up. I don't know what number we're at, but I know we're not too far off.
It's not too far off.
Not too far off.
We're almost at 100, so it's got to be soon.
It'll be the before the end of the season, and then 100 is always a big episode for every TV series.
Yeah. So,
that'd be interesting where they go. I'm looking forward to it. Next week will be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I agree.
You just said yeah.
Yeah.
Just make a song out of it, man. All right. Well, we'll conclude
this
episode.
I think that's what the Frasier song, what was the song? Fitz, the opening song.
J, remember?
Fitz Pleasure.
There's a dad joke about just like on your computer.
Fitz Pleasure. That was kind of their song. I was like, yeah, the start of it. Or la la la. I can't remember which one it was, but it was repetitive. And then
I'm trying to conclude this episode, so be sure to follow us on Twitter at the Blacklist GSM, where we live tweet during the East Coast feed, and we use the show's hashtag the Blacklist, and maybe the new one hashtag yeah.
And don't forget to follow us on Tumblr, Instagram, and join the Facebook group. Just search for the Blacklist Exposed. Talk about the show, the podcast, or let us know if your place is rentable on that B&B thing.
You can also subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, or your favorite podcast player of choice. You can listen from the website, but if you're really on the go, like Raymond Reddington, make sure you download our app for iOS and Android, powered by Spreaker. You will also find all the intel and analysis about this episode for the End Lane by visiting theblacklistexposed.com. Big thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget to answer our profiling question, which was, who do you think stole the bones?
The bag of bones.
Maybe it was David Boreanaz.
Or Emily Deschanel.
Ooh, you said her name so well.
Thank you.
Good for you. Good for you.
All right.
That's going to do it. You guys take care.
We'll see you next week. Until next time, I'm Agent Troy Heinrichs. That's at Troy Heinrichs on Twitter. And if you want to learn more about me, just visit, about.me/Troy Heinrichs.
And I'm Agent Aaron Peterson. You can hear me talking about movies and TV on the Hollywood Outsider podcast, as well as Remake This Movie Right. We are available at thehollywoodoutsider.com or on Twitter at 5popcorn. Be sure to subscribe, download the app, submit your feedback, but most importantly, keep yourself off of
the Blacklist.
The Blacklist Exposed is a Golden Spiral Media production. Find more of our great podcasts at goldenspiralmedia.com/podcasts.